Awesome. Well, I've been out in kids' church as well today, teaching the kids a story, and I'm now back. If you're still doing the offering, that's fantastic. Who knows that I was actually with the kids, and they asked me to do a story about giving. And as part of that story, my wife's left her iPod there. That's okay. I thought I'd done something wrong for a moment there. I thought I was going to be in trouble. Like, what have I said? I've only just started. Anyway, I was in Kids Church and Judith, the leader of Kids Zone, asked me to talk about giving to the kids. And so I'm talking away about giving to the kids, and they were so nervous because Pastor Nigel was in there. It was actually quite funny, but well, it was for me anyway. Probably not for them. They were terrified. But the point is, we have to actually give God what we have. Who'd like a miracle in their life? All the kids put up their hands too. Oh, funny that, hey. Or even the little ones. They all said, yeah, I want a miracle. And when we give our tithe, it then allows what we have left, when we use it for God's purposes, for a miracle to happen. And so for those of you this week that I've been talking to in respect to our giving programs, our story, our future, we do Leap into Spring later in the year. The first thing we do is we give God our tithe because we owe him everything. And then what we have left, you know, Peter struggled with this because he was so hungry in the actual story of the 5,000. But then what we have left, what we do with that, as we give into God's kingdom and we use it to fulfill his purposes, miracles happen in our lives as well. Awesome principle just to get a hold of for our life. And so I want to talk to you this morning. We've started a series on the book of Acts. Who enjoyed last week? A few of you. And so this week, come with me to book of Acts chapter 2. Book of Acts chapter 2. And I'd love to read to you actually from chapter 2 verse 1. And the title of my message today is actually The Descent of the Holy Spirit. Who's glad if they have the Holy Spirit in their life? Anybody? And so I want to talk today about the descent of the Holy Spirit, and we're doing an exegetical series, which means we're getting right into the Word of God. We're doing more of teaching than topical, and so we're going to give you a little bit of history as well as we go along, and a little bit of what's out there today in our world as well. All right, so the coming of the Holy Spirit, it says in my Bible, and chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." So, Pastor Sheila correctly said last week at C3 Wellard, the book of Acts is the Acts of the Holy Spirit. And wherever the Holy Spirit is present, new things will be happening. Whenever the Holy Spirit is present, there will be life. Wherever the Holy Spirit is present, there will be joy. Wherever the Holy Spirit is present, there will be warmth. It's the amazing thing about what God has left us, a helper, which we'll talk about a little bit today. And so the book of Acts is very appropriate for our church right now. We have started new things, including Wellard. I mentioned last week we have a Port Care service and lunch, which is going incredibly well. We have new connect groups. We have new leaders rising up. It's a great season for C3 Frio Wellard. And so, to a large extent, Acts 2 is concerned about the preaching of the gospel to the Jews. And the day of Pentecost was unique. It had not happened before. It is important we recognize the descent of His Holy Spirit happened to His called out ones. His ecclesia, it's called the church. Who's glad to be a part of the church today? And so we are His called out ones. That's what the Bible actually calls us in the language it was written in. And so for Luke, the author of Acts, a doctor. So the author of Acts is a doctor. He's an astute learner. He's well educated. He's writing specifically about actual events that happened. And he's critical. You know, he's like, no, this is the way it was. Who goes to the doctor and you only get heart, you know, you get told the truth, right? When you go to the doctor, it's like the worst outcome. Well, this is how Luke's kind of writing. It's kind of like, well, this is the facts. This is how it is. And so the Holy Spirit descended so that the church could be rebooted, could be re-energized, and that could be refilled with His power. And so we are totally sure of our salvation through the operation of the Holy Spirit in our life. Totally sure. Without a shadow of a doubt. And so to be filled with the Spirit is to have His outside power, His fire, His new language, and in one place. And I want to talk about these four areas this morning. I want to start with the first point, outside power. Everyone say outside power. If you go to verse 2, chapter 2:2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were meeting. It was like a violent wind. Everybody present felt it. It came from heaven. It was outside and it came into them. We have a situation. It was outside from heaven. It came into them. It's a collision course with culture. What the world tells you and I about our problems and the solution. Our culture says that our problems come from outside of us. That's their fault. That's my upbringing. That's this. That's who's ever made that? No, don't put your hands up. Who's ever made those kind of excuses? You know, we've all got these. That's the thing that we do. And inside of you, this is what the world says. Inside of you, you have what it takes to solve your problems. You have what it takes. Christianity, however, says your main problem comes from inside of you. And out there, God has the power to give you what you need. Ha ha. You see, the world says you have all the power within you to make it happen. And the problem is out there. Social prejudice, dysfunctional families, upbringing, economic issues. But you still have all you need inside of you to solve your problems and make it in this life. But the facts tell a very different story. I was looking up the latest 2016 Beyond Blue statistics. 3 million Aussies are living with depression or anxiety. Anxiety is the most common health condition in Australia. 1 in 4 people experience it. On average, 8 Australians take their own lives every day. In Australia, suicide is the leading cause of death for males aged 15 to 44 years of age. There's 3,000 actually per year. Who's beginning to think that maybe the problems, we can't solve all the problems ourselves? And so the Bible says the opposite to the world we live in. Christianity says the problem is in here. Put your hand on your heart for a moment. The problem, say it to yourself, the problem's in here. The problem's me. So it's good to laugh at yourself. Isn't it true? Because if we can laugh at ourselves and realize that we're part of the problem, it makes us get on with everybody else a whole lot better. Does it not? And so the Holy Spirit, in fact, let me go back a little step. So Christianity says the problem's in here. Hands on your heart for a second. The problem's in here. Our fundamental nature, however, is to be self-centered. And for the most part, we are blind to it. And every now and then, we may recognize it in bad people. They're a bad person. You know, or maybe the groups. You know, like certain groups of people, they're bad people. But not me. See, out there, God has the power to give you what you need. The Holy Spirit is the power we need to change the fabric of who we really are. But I don't wish to change who I am at all. I want that person to change who's got children growing up. It's their fault. But we don't change that much sometimes. And the issues with this kind of life is that it becomes very frustrating because no one changes. And we need heaven to come down into our lives in the form of the Holy Spirit, His outside power descending on us. Who'd like a little bit more outside power coming into their life? Secondly, His fire. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need His fire. Chapter 2 and verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. In the Old Testament, God's presence showed up in fire. God spoke with Moses from a burning bush. You can look it up in Exodus chapter 3. And God gave Moses the impetus, to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. He actually made this comment when Moses says, well, who do I say that you are? Do I really have to do this? I am who I am. Booming big voice of God. I am. Just tell him I am sent you. It's authoritative, it's from a distance. Tell the people this. Moses is interacting with the people. On Mount Sinai in Exodus 19, the people are too scared to go up the mountain. There's all fire and all sorts of glory of God stuff happening up there. So they go, Moses, you can do it. You go up and down. It could end badly for us. In fact, it could be a fatality. We don't want to do it. So Moses, you go up and down the mountain. And he goes up and down the mountain on the people's behalf, cleansing them. And eventually the law is given with great power and authority. And the Ten Commandments are given. And then through the wilderness, the people of God have a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day. And so, interestingly, Ezekiel talks about fire an awful lot as well. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, the Spirit of God represented fire. He's prophesying the future. He's prophesying what we have available to us now. The Spirit of God represented fire. Everyone say fire again with me. Fire. How awesome the Spirit of God is that He helps every individual with their own case through the Holy Spirit descending on them. What we saw in the verses we read out, that there was an individual tongue of fire come upon every single person. And so there's a reason for this, and it helps us with our with wisdom. It helps us with actually our entire life that God has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. One sat upon each of them. So here's the key. Through the day of Pentecost, Luke is describing how this day supersedes all previous. On this day, not only Moses got close to God, not only did the people see evidence of God from a distance, but it came to rest on each of them. Through the day of Pentecost, every believer is a burning bush. Who'd like some more fire on their life today? Every believer is a burning bush. Every believer has the power, not just one or two, because now we've changed from the Old Testament and the covenant and the law into everyone having the same power that even Jesus had, and more so, the Bible says. This is incredible. You see, the glory and presence of God has come into every believer. Up until this point in the church history, only key leaders got a glimpse of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself only trained the 12 in the power of the Spirit, but now everyone got it. In verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all, everyone say all with me, all filled. The fullness of God was now available to all. And Jesus said, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Now this is a capital H. This is the I am. It's the I'm the Almighty One. Who'd like a bit more almighty authority of God on their life? And so this is God saying, I'm going to give you a helper that he may be able to abide with you forever. In John 14, he says that. And so the fire of God is to be a reality in your life. Empowerment by the Holy Spirit is not an option for Christians. It is an imperative for all. And the way we receive of the Holy Spirit is the same way the early Christians received the Holy Spirit, through prayer. What were these guys doing? What were the 120 doing in the upper room? They were having a prayer meeting. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. And I want to give an opportunity before when we finish this meeting today, for those of you who may not have been baptized in the full power of the Holy Spirit, to receive. And all you do is got to pray a prayer. And God will manifest his presence into your life. You'll speak his language. And you'll have the full impetus of what God has for you moving forward in your life. In Ephesians 5:18, there's an interesting passage of scripture, which kind of aligns to the passage we just read, the last verse. Others were mocking, saying that they were full of new wine. It says in Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation. All right, that's overindulgence, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And so Paul is doing a comparison. Now, alcohol is a depressant. It doesn't actually depress you. It depresses part of your brain. And if you have too much, you can tend to get silly. You do not have full control of your faculties anymore. So, however, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and this is what all the people were thinking, maybe they're drunk. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you haven't lost some of your faculties because you've had too much wine. You're not a little bit silly, but it can seem like that from a distance. It certainly can. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, though, there is a joyful fearlessness that comes upon you. The Holy Spirit gives you joy through intelligence. Things that bother you become small. You have a newfound confidence and boldness in Him. You are His child. He's got you. The fire's burning within you. I love the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. There are times in my walk with God where I haven't known the answer to a situation and I've gone and prayed to God, and sometimes this may take longer than just a few minutes, but as you wait on God, allow Him to actually fill you with His presence, then I've found that He will give me wisdom that I did not have for that problem to solve the areas that I need to solve with His help. That's the power of the Spirit in your life. Who's got a problem right now? Put your hand up. None of you. No? All of, oh, quite a lot. When we've got a problem in our life, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to come and show us that He's a reality in our world. We need to actually physically take a hold of everything that He is by the power of the Holy Spirit in our life, and we can have a boldness. We can go to Him with whatever problem we may have. We can go to Him with whatever's happening in our life that isn't seemingly quite right. We might be having a problem in our marriage, and we can go to God and say, Lord, I don't know how to fix my marriage, but I know You do. Please help me. And He says, why don't you work on yourself? Why don't you be more loving? Why don't you? It always aligns with the Word of God. Because the power of the Holy Spirit is not some New Age thing. It is God Himself. And He always speaks through His Word. Everything you need is through the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and it will mimic pretty much the Word of God. You're His child. When you've got the power of the Holy Spirit on your life, you're His child. Say it with me, I'm His child. I thank You, Lord, for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank You, Lord, that You are going to bring life into every situation that I face as I call on You. In Jesus' name, amen. He's got the power. Thirdly, His new language. Turn to your neighbor and say, He's got a new language for you. In Acts 2:4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Luke is very careful to show in verses 5 to 11 that there is no precedence of culture when the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes upon your life. I love this part about God. In fact, in Luke makes this statement, dwelling in Jerusalem, this is verse 5, were devout men from every nation under heaven. Every nation under heaven. All at once, those present were speaking in every language on the planet. The gospel, unlike any other religion, shows now no precedence of culture, no precedence of language. Now, this is really interesting. Let's just take one of the major religions of the world today. The Quran is not believed to be the Word of God unless it is translated into Arabic. All other translations are not really the Word of God. However, we do believe that Christianity can be translated. Whether you have the Bible in Chinese, Japanese, Malay, Tamil, Spanish, Portuguese, Russian, English, it's the Word of God. There is a unified Islamic culture everywhere you go in the world. But this is not true of Christianity because of Pentecost. Christianity is the most culturally different religion on the face of the earth. It has radically different forms, no one language or one culture. Christianity comes into every culture and renews every culture and at the same time honours every culture. Who's glad they're in a multicultural church here this morning? You see, let me quote from Pastor Phil Pringle, the president of C3. He writes in his book, Moving in the Power of the Holy Spirit, he writes this: you are lifted out of your culture to a degree to align with the Word of God only. Now, there's power in that. Who's glad that we can associate with African people here this morning? Who's glad that we can associate with Malays or Malay Indians this morning? Who's glad we can associate with our Aboriginal brothers and sisters? Hey, come on. Who's glad that we can associate with even an Aussie boy? Who's glad we can associate with a South African? Who's glad we can associate with a Kiwi? Any Kiwis in the house this morning? Steve? You know, isn't it awesome what the power of the Holy Spirit has done? It's the only religion in the entire world where you don't have to align to a certain way of doing things. You can be who you are. God loves you the way you are. Come on. Yes, Lord. And so God refuses to have a dominant language or culture in Christianity. He refuses. Thank you, Bree. Awesome girl. Who's glad we got Brie in church?
American.
Yeah. You're not going to be steamrolled for being an African Christian. You're not going to be steamrolled for being a Malay Christian, a Russian Christian. You are rather a renewed African, a renewed Russian. You see, the reason for this kind of acceptance, unlike any other religion on the face of the planet, is because the Holy Spirit will always focus every believer on Jesus. What he has done for you and I on the cross. The incredible love of God. I'm for you. I love you. I'm pleased with you. I accept you. You don't have to do things differently. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to worry about whether you do this, whether it's going to be seen as being right. I care about you the way you are. And we all get to speak. This is important. We all get to speak his language. Come on. How good is that? We all get to speak whose language? His language. See, the gift of tongues is the evidence that we have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1:13, it tells us that the Holy Spirit is given as a seal of our salvation. And although we are not saved by the baptism in the Holy Spirit, nor speaking in tongues, as some groups do teach, we are totally assured of our salvation. See, there are five instances of believers receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit through speaking in tongues in the book of Acts alone. On top of that, the Apostle Paul said, who's glad the Apostle Paul wrote quite a bit of the New Testament? Anybody? Incredible. The Apostle Paul said, apart from all the Acts conversions, and they're all received this new language and was speaking in other tongues, the Apostle Paul says that after his powerful conversion experience, in the book of Corinthians, he says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. That's 1 Corinthians 14:18. See, Paul knew that through the operation of God's language in his life, he was able to see like God sees. He was able to be more like God is. This is amazing. In Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer was so astounded by the gift of the Holy Spirit, and these guys are speaking in a new language, that he offered money to do the same. After the 120 received the baptism of the Holy Spirit at the day of Pentecost and spoke in all the languages of the earth in a new tongue that was given from God, Peter boldly preached to 3,000 devout Jews, the most difficult people to win to Christ, and they all came to know him. And then it went on and on through the book of Acts, which is why we're in the book of Acts at the moment. It went on and on. It was 3,000, then there was more and more, and people were added to the church daily, the Acts says. There is a desperate need for us to lay hold of this gift. This new language from God so that we all have a central focus on Jesus. Tongues has been called the least of the gifts. But do you know that there is no description anywhere in the Bible that says that? And when we consider the impact of the day of Pentecost, the power, the presence, the remarkableness of this event, the outcome of the operation of this new language, and 3,000 and more coming to Christ, why wouldn't you want to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit into your life? You see, all cultures, and it starts off that it fell upon all. A divine language. God gives us a divine language, a new language which helps them with their own knowledge of God. Oh, Lord, give me that language. I crave for it, Father. It helps them pray more effectively, and I'm sure this is why Paul wanted to speak more, and he even said it, I'm glad I speak more than you guys do. It helps us with our environment. It helps them bring all people to a knowledge and understanding of Jesus. Lastly, in one place. They were all in one place, verse 1. They were all in one place. There is no other gift on the planet that can bring incredible unity. They were all in one place, in one accord, and they all understood one another. Isn't it so awesome? You can go to any church around the world and you can pick up on what God's doing. You don't have to know the language, by the way. It's because there is something about the power of the Holy Spirit that translates all boundaries. Interesting. And we're going to stand to our feet in a moment. In Genesis 10, the Tower of Babel, they were an arrogant people. They're trying to make a tower to heaven to prove how good they are. And of course, well, the I Am, and they all, that. But the problem was they were confused because they were all speaking in different languages. And it's because of human pride and human arrogance that the world is divided. Warring is because of arrogance. And the day of Pentecost is the curse of battle being reversed. The judgment came down on Jesus, so we get his fire. Is anyone grateful for what Jesus has done? We get his warmth, we get his love, and we know how to operate in a fallen world. Through being baptized in his Holy Spirit and speaking in his new language, we can all get along. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? We can all get along. Why is the church different to every other organization? Because we can all get along. And the church is the one place you live out the purposes of God in your life. Can we stand to our feet, please, church? Those prayer team members can get ready to come to the front, please. That'd be awesome. I've asked to pray for the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Barriers come down between race and culture, between everything that tries to divide us. Confidence to do his work. So I want to pray in a moment, but I think before we do that, we should just sing just a chorus. Can we do that? Just lead a chorus for us. And can we just worship God for a moment if we take a few minutes extra today? But at the end of this, I really want people that have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not speaking fluently in that language from God, to come forward and receive all that God has for you. Let's just worship God for a moment. Thanks, God. In the darkness, you're the light. That my heart will be in Jesus Christ. Everlasting, lifted higher. You are my only.
whisper, you're the shout. Hear the sound as the walls come down on the mountain through the fire. You are my only desire. In the darkness, you're the light. Found my hope in Jesus Christ, everlasting, lifted higher. You are my only desire.
Yes, Lord. Thanks, guys. Why don't we say that? Lord, you're my only desire. Your only desire, Lord. You're my desire. Father God. Father God. If you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you're speaking in God's language, can I ask you to come? We're going to close our service, but can I ask you to come to the front? And we've got a prayer team here that are ready to pray and receive the Holy Spirit. It's a really easy thing. Just cut the music down a bit for me just for a moment. I want to say this. This is so easy. So easy. Fill me with your Spirit now, Lord. That's all we have to say. I want people to pray this prayer over their lives in a second. I want more of you, God. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit today. This is your will for me. And Acts 2:4 tells us that they began to speak in a new language. Give voice to that language. So, as we worship one more time, if you'd like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please come forward and help us pray with you. It's not difficult. It's not hard. You don't have to strive for it. And allow God to totally fill you and renew you. Thanks, guys.